I'd like to say good evening to everyone. I trust that everyone here this evening is ready to receive some meat, the meat of salvation. Salvation is the reason why we are here this evening. Salvation is that wisdom that we need to receive as God giveth to every man. And Kevin surprised me with this mic, because I was going to say, I know that he has mics at his podium. We don't have mics at Alcoa, but I move around a lot. I hardly stay behind the podium a lot, so this is a surprise for me, but I thank you, Kevin. And I thank the brethren and the elders for inviting me this evening and having the opportunity to speak on this occasion, this evening. God has blessed us to be able to do the things that we do in order to bring lost souls to Jesus. In reference to our text this evening in Corinthians, I gave the brother 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. However, I gave him 2 Corinthians. It should have been 1 Corinthians. So I do apologize for giving him the incorrect scriptures. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And when he started reading, I realized that I had given him the wrong scriptures. So I deeply apologize for the wrong scriptures. And if you'll turn with me there to 2 Corinthians, we'll begin our lesson this evening. The wisdom of God or the wisdom of man. We must reject the wisdom of man and accept the wisdom of God in regard to our attendance, our giving, our worship, and salvation. The hearer should be able to describe the wisdom of man in regard to those things and explain why this is not the wisdom of God. If you know what the wisdom of God is, then when man starts to propel his wisdom upon you, then you should know what that wisdom is of God. You got to understand that it is our own ability to study the Bible to be able to draw out and know what that wisdom is. God's wisdom is written for our learning, and each of us has that ability to take out those words and study and get that wisdom. In 1 Corinthians verses chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, Paul was just finished addressing the issue of divisions at the church in Corinth. The issue was caused by the wisdom of men. Men make decisions and men use their own mind to set things in motion that the way they like it. And what happens when man starts doing that and not following the oracles or the words of God? He starts making things up for himself and putting himself on a high pedestal. And when you put yourself up, God is not pleased with that. God wants you to satisfy him. We serve an awesome God, but we also have a jealous God because he wants to be first in everything that you do. Paul says that he knew nothing among them saved Christ and him being crucified. This is just what we ought to know, that no man has done anything to save Christ or to keep him or to hell him from being crucified. When we understand that man can do nothing to save Christ or has done nothing, then we know that we are serving God with our heart, because we don't let man fool us. Preaching Christ and him being crucified means preaching certain things and rejecting certain things. This means preaching the wisdom of God and rejecting the wisdom of man in verses 4 and 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It means preaching the Spirit of God and rejecting the spirit of the world in verses 10 through 13. It means preaching the spirit of man and rejecting the natural man, verses 14 through 16. Today, we need to focus on preaching Christ and Him being crucified. Why was Christ crucified, and why did He have to go through the anguish that He bore? If He had not gone through what He went through, would we still be where we are today? God sent His Son to save us from ourselves. We were a dying, lost generation. Have you ever been cut off from something? I'm going to ask you all a question. How many people have been cut off in traffic? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. No, don't do that. Because you're going to tell on yourself. If you've been cut off in traffic, what do? You get upset, right? Sometimes you honk your horn. I hope that's all you do is honk your horn. Some of us even get even more angry. And what do? We'll take our cars and use it. Not, we won't batter them, but we'll get really close. Let them know that you just made me angry. Well, think of this. Man, in all of his thinking and all of his knowledge and trying to make himself better, stopped serving God and was cut off, just like you got cut off in traffic. And think how that made God angry. God does not want you to serve yourselves. He wants you to serve Him. And when you start serving yourselves, you stop serving God. Going to get to salvation in just a moment. Just bear with me. We must accept the wisdom of God and reject the wisdom of man in our regards to attendance. And somebody asked me once, said, Brother Brown, why come every time a preacher starts preaching on salvation, he brings up attendance? And I just look him square in the eye and say, well, it must be important. Attendance. It is required of you to be in attendance. The wisdom of man says one church is as good as another. Attendance every once in a while, once or twice a year. Nobody will be hurt if I don't come. There are too many hypocrites in the church. But the wisdom of God says one church is not as good as another. And as far as Matthew 16 and 18, Peter had spoke out, and when Jesus asked the question, who did you say that they say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus spoke and said, upon this rock I will build my church. I don't know about you, but you say I'm going to my house. I don't think you'll show up at Kevin's house. If I say I'm going to my house, I don't think you'll be happy if I'm sitting at your dining room table with my feet cocked up. I'm just saying that when you say mine, that is personal to you. Jesus said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Jesus died for His church, and that belongs to Christ. Sometimes we got to realize just how awesome Jesus was and what He could have done. We sang that beautiful song just a few moments ago, how He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have. But thank be to God that He was willing to carry out the will of the Father, and He did just that. Attend every first day of the week. Acts 20 and 7. They met upon the first day of the week. That's what they did. The disciples back then, they met every first day of the week. The Bible says that Peter preached unto midnight. And if he preached unto midnight, they were there for a while. I mean, some folk have a problem that comes into the church and sit for an hour. Am I right, Elmer? They sit there for an hour and they start to wiggle and turn, and they can't stand to sit still for 1 hour. Back then, the disciples didn't have these fine, nice pews or this air-conditioned building that we have today of modern society. They had to sit on stone sometimes. Sometimes it was just rough. They just sat on the ground. But people just cannot appreciate what they have been blessed with. People will be hurt. We often hurt our brethren when we don't come. We hurt ourselves by robbing our souls of spiritual food. Every time you come to a worship service, you know, you say, I get a little bit of what they're saying. Well, guess what you're doing? You're feeding that spiritual soul. Now, people will leave and rush out of here to get to wherever they're going to go eat. And ain't nothing wrong with eating. God knows I know that. There's nothing wrong with eating and feeding the fleshly body. But you got to feed the spiritual body as well. If you're not feeding that spiritual body, then you're going to be lost. Because that spirit has to be fed. It's going to be fed one way or the other. It's going to get that bad, or you need to be filling it with something good. Let us reject the words, the world's wisdom, and accept the wisdom of God in these matters. The next one is giving. Now, Brother Brown, you didn't have to bring that up. Wisdom of man says, ask anybody for money of a car wash, or bake sales, or chili suppers, or rummage sales. Store up and save as much as you can. Don't give a lot of money to the church, because the church won't know what to do with it anyway. That's what the spirit of man says. The wisdom of God says, don't ask anybody for money. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it tells us exactly what we ought to do. Upon the first day of the week, we ought to give back that portion which God has prospered us with. That's what we ought to do. And you got to have that purpose in your heart. You have to have a made up mind that regardless of what happens in my life, I'm going to give this portion to God, because if he didn't bless me with what I'm getting, then he's going to cut me off. There's that cut off again. Members of the church alone are to give, to do the work of the church. Don't store up as much as you can. Luke 12 and 15, one who has two times in the scriptures that Jesus called a man a fool. And in this instance, this young man, he had fields that had given him plenty of harvest, and he had barns that were just running over. And there he said, my barns are full and running over. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll just tear these old barns down and build me bigger barns to store up my goods, and I'll lay back and say, I all is well with my soul. And that's they called him a fool. Because you shouldn't store up for yourself. You should. God requires us to give a portion of that which he's blessed us with. When you give, you'll receive more. When you're giving and you receive more, God continues to bless you. Don't give out of poverty. In Mark 12 and verses 41 to 40, the widow, she had came, and all of them were just throwing money in, and it was of the excess that they had. It wasn't of their true earnings. It was just the excess, and just for a show of men so they could see what they were giving. But this widow came up and she gave two mites, and Jesus said, this woman has given all that she had, and he blessed what she had given. But all those others that were throwing in a lot of money, you think about it now. Some folk have more money than others. Some folk are blessed to have a job that provides them well, and they may be a millionaire. Some of you may be millionaires. Don't look to your neighbor. Keep looking forward. If there's a millionaire sitting next to you, God has blessed him. And if he's given as a millionaire should, God's going to continue to bless him or her. There could be some millionaire women. But if you're giving as a millionaire, then that God is happy with you. You cannot just give a small portion. Let us reject the wisdom of man, accept the wisdom of God in these matters. In worship, wisdom of man says God doesn't care who you worship. God doesn't care how we worship. Worship any old way you want. God doesn't care where you worship. Worship any place you want. I need to use my talent to worship God. And a man would say, applaud the preacher. Wisdom of God says, worship God and his son, Jesus Christ. Revelations 19 and 20, it both says, 19 and 20 and 22 and 9, and 20 and 9 says, worship God. When we worship God, we're worshiping whom we ought to be worshiping, because he is the one that can destroy the body and the soul. If your soul is not saved by Jesus Christ, if your soul is not wrapped up in Jesus, then your soul is being cut off from our blessed Lord and Christ, which sits in heaven. In 1 Peter 4, let him say, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may glorify through Christ Jesus. To whom be praise, the dominion over forever and ever. Amen. John 4:24 says, worship in spirit and in truth. You got to be worshiping him in spirit and in truth. You got to be truthful to self. Some folk just don't know how to be truthful to themselves. How do you be truthful to yourself? By not allowing anyone or anything to influence or take over how you worship God. You need to worship God every day, every hour. Some folk got up this morning and they thank God for getting up. Some folk this morning wanted to get up to have the ability to thank God, but yet will rise no more. If they were not worshiping him before, they're in the hands of a just God. But you got to be doing it now, not when you die. Worshiping God in God's church, not in some man-made church. In Hebrews 2 and 12 we read, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. Worshiping God in the way God wants to be worshiped. You got to be willing to worship him the way he wants you to worship him. Sometimes we feel that we have to do it our way. But it's God's way. Pleasing God is what we ought to be doing. When we please God, we don't have to worry about what man thinks doing. We don't have to worry about how man sees us, do we? Because God is the one that's pleased. Sometimes I said this morning in our Bible class, people look at the person that doesn't have a good voice for singing, and they will have him sit and not sing. God's not pleased with that. God wants to use every single one of us for the ability that he has put within you. And if you are singing and you're singing to the glory of God and you're off pitch, come sit by me. Be all right with me. I'll sit there and I'll smile and I'll sing home right along with you. Sometimes we got to learn how we are to sing and be happy and not be judgmental of because this person next to us off key. And if you're singing off key, most of the time my wife said, he didn't hear you anyway. Because he got them hearing aids on and he don't hear too well. And I said, that's okay. I can still feel the vibration. Worship God. All worship is directed to God, not to man. Applaud is acceptable when we want to congratulate someone in the secular world, but let's keep the sacred things sacred and the secular things secular. Leviticus 10 and 10. We got to learn how to separate the two.
applauding a preacher is not what we do. That's the secular world. And people will tell me all the time that, hey, Brother Brown, can I go to a football game and can I yell when the person crosses the goal line? Yes, you can do that. Nothing wrong with that. You didn't break any laws. Well, when I go to church, Brother Brown, if the preacher says something that I like, can I shout out amen? Yes, you can. But when the preacher says something you like, don't yell touchdown, because we know you got some earphones on. You listen to the game on Sunday. Let's reject the wisdom of man and accept the wisdom of God in these matters. Salvation, the world's wisdom says, all men are saved. All you need to do to be saved is to live a good moral life. All you need to do to be saved is to make a mental affirmation to Christ. That's man. The wisdom of God says, some are going to be lost. Matthew 7, 12 and 13. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law of the prophet. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there which go in thereat. Morality is not sufficient. Cornelius was a good man in Acts 10 and verses 1 and 2, yet he could have been lost if he had rejected the gospel of Christ. Some people living today don't understand how a good man is hard to find today. But there are good men that can be found. But are they really serving God with all their heart? Faith only does not save. You can't just have faith and expect your faith to save you. James 2, 14 through 26. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Faith alone can't save you. Because the Bible tells you that faith without work, y'all can finish it, is what? Is dead. And I, the last time I checked, I serve a true and what? Oh, man, you got it right there, sister. What is your name? All right. She says, yeah, I serve a true, as a living God. If you're serving something dead, it's idolism. My God is alive. I don't know about you, but my God is alive. He's alive and well. And he's well because he makes himself present in everything that I do. And I pray that he's doing the same for you. When God put himself and he lived through you, he's alive. Just as you are alive. We are his extensions now. Some folk can't get the analogy there, but that's another sermon. That's another sermon. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believed and trembled, but without known, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith without his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believeth God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that the works of a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, as the rab of the harlot justified by works, when she received the messenger, and had sent them out another day. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. God has a plan for man's salvation. Yes, he did. He had a plan for man's salvation. Man's salvation was set for by God. And when God sets something, no man should be able to open his mouth against it. And we can say over and over again, as we study our Bibles, where God puts a period, man is not allowed to put a question mark. Where there is a period, stop there. The salvation is hearing the word of God. Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing. Believing with all your heart. Hebrews 16, 11 and 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. Repent of your sins. Acts 17 and 30. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 16 and 16, and be baptized for the remission of sin, Mark 16, 15 through 16. That is the plan for salvation. We preach Christ and him crucified. This means that we preach the wisdom of God and reject the wisdom of man. In regards to his attendance, in regards to giving, in regards to worship, in regards to our salvation, we preach God. We preach Christ. We preach the things that are acceptable in heaven. Jesus gave us all that we needed of how we are to save ourselves from this toward generation. He gave it to us. And he left and he died so that you would have that right to the tree of life. If you are a Christian, but have fallen away, you once accepted the wisdom of God. Why have you not gone back to the wisdom of God and you continuously accept the wisdom of man over and over again? You're just crucifying Christ over and over again. Each time we sin, we are nailing him to the cross. You say, well, Brother Brown, I wasn't back there. I didn't live then. No, I don't know if any of my relatives were alive back then. I don't even know that far back my family tree. You are crucifying him again and again. Every time you sin. Because he died for your sin. He only had to die once and conquer death for you and I. If you are not a Christian, will you accept God's wisdom? And if you are a Christian and you've fallen away and you're living and have a little sin upon you, some folks say, I only got a little sin. Well, sin is sin. You got a broken finger. Now, some people use the analogy of pregnancy, but I think we need to get away from that one. If you got a broken finger, you don't say, my finger's a little broken, do you? You say, what? My finger is broken. So therefore, if you are got a little sin, don't say, I got a little sin. You say that exactly what it is. I have sinned. And where sin exists, God cannot be. God cannot be where sin is. That's why he sent his son. To get us away from that, to put us in that path of righteousness. And if you're willing to get up from your beds of slumber and get out of your way of sin and start to put on Christ and accept his will and start living your life for Christ, living to get to the Father which is in heaven, you have to do it while the blood's still running warm in your veins. You have to do it today. Some folks put off and say, I will do it tomorrow. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Not one of us can say that I will do tomorrow what they can do today. And when you come to before the judgment seat and Christ said, well, why didn't you? Well, I didn't know. What he said, well, I sent my messenger. I sent a message to be preached unto you every single Sunday. You were there. When the door swung open, you were in there. But you yielded not. You continue to live in your sins. He said, Brother Brown did not say a thing about that if I didn't do it this day. Brother Brown didn't have to tell you every time that you had to do it this day, but I'm here today and I'm telling you, you have to do it this day. You have to do it this hour. You cannot wait, because you can walk right out this door and get on this highway, may not even make it, and you could have a massive heart attack. I know what you're thinking. I'm young. I'm vigorous. I got all the energy. I can move. I can do it. There are young folks that have heart attacks too. Don't tell me that's not true, because I know when I was living in Middle Tennessee, a young lady, 25 years old, went to the emergency room, told them that she was having chest pain, and they looked at her and they said she was young, so they made her wait, and sitting in the ER, massive heart attack, died, 25 years old. That's not old. You say, well, I'm not 25, Brother Brown. I'm only 16. Young man, 16 years old, had open heart surgery, a bad heart, had a massive heart attack on the operating table. They had to bring him back twice. Tell me I don't know that anybody could have a heart attack and die. Well, Brother Brown, you're talking about heart attacks. You can drive, walk out that door, a bee could sting you, don't know you got allergy to it, and you can die right there. You need to get yourself right with God while the blood's still running warm in your veins. Don't wait for tomorrow. The salvation is there. It's waiting for you. You don't have to wait for it. Because the last time I checked, there's water. There's water there to be baptized if you're not in Christ. And if you've fallen away and Satan has chucked away and got you down, you can repent of your sins and be added back into the fold. While you still have the opportunity. Or sometimes we're just going through some hard times and we just need prayer. Just need somebody to pray for us, to strengthen us. And if that be either case that fills your shoes, I want you to please come while we stand and sing a verse of invitation song.